which you don't use now.
No.
But
so just to change the subject completely then. So as I cycle up and down here myself many times, I know that they were memorial gardens, and therefore they were sort of, you know, there is a kind of a history and a significance to them. But I had found myself thinking, it's not a really particularly exciting use of the land, is it? Personally,
no.
Do you? So my question is, would you? How would you feel if it ever came to people discussing alternative ways of using that, not for building on, but of using the space for greenery and
the memorial gardens themselves?
Mm. Mm.
I'm not quite sure what you mean, really.
Well, so re-landscaping them, and because people decided that as they currently stand, it just, you know, it wasn't...
Well, I like having the trees there. Having big trees, I think, is essential in London.
Yeah.
And with big trees, it's quite difficult to grow anything very exciting because they'd need an awful lot of care and attention and watering if you try to grow very much else. When we lived here, well, earlier, there used to be a man whose sole job it was to look after the memorial gardens. One of the council gardeners, but that was his patch, and he didn't garden anywhere else, and he kept them
very well.
Absolutely immaculate.
Yes, exactly.
Now they have, you know, people who come out and put a few not very good bedding plants in.
Mm.
But...
I mean, I suppose it's just that, you know, nowadays we know about things like biodiversity and the need, you know, like you can create much more unusual mixes of plants.
Oh, you
that,
could. You
that
could.
Sort
you,
of support you, a whole, you know, and you could, you know, it would probably actually be to your benefit here because you could...
I wouldn't complain, but they take a lot more looking after. They do take a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And I don't think the council has the wherewithal to do that, and I don't know quite who else would do it.
We'll get the break.
We'll
get the
well,
break.
We did go out and plant a lot of daffodils, didn't we?
Yes, we planted 1,000 bulbs in the scheme.
That, just the two of us?
Just the two of us, yeah.
They weren't all daffodils. Lots of different bulbs. But the daffodils survived. I don't think the other ones did.
The other ones didn't, yeah.
So, just to get back to the, I just was wondering if you knew. So, when you arrived here, then moved into this house. Presumably, we had by then there were trams chuntering up and down Lewisham Way.
No,
not in our time. No, the trams had gone before we moved in. I don't know when the trams went, but there weren't any tram lines even when we moved in.
But presumably, much less traffic then. So.
Oh,
remember this
very, thing? Very much very, less traffic yes. then. It was far less noisy, far less polluted.
Yes. Yes, it was very, very much different.
No one was saying they had plans to build a dual carriageway. They also had plans later to put the line from the Channel Tunnel through at the back. So we had another fight on our hands then.
Okay.
And so we all had banners and went up and marched along the embankment and round.
They had things sticking out through hilly fields to aerate the tunnels that was going underneath. It was going
quite
way along to Camberwell, right the way through here.
So this was a proposal for.
Oh yes, very very much.
What was the became say the Eurostar? Or just another line?
To join up, it was the join up of the Channel Tunnel to Waterloo,
Waterloo,
I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's very controversial, it's going to predate your time, but what we now think of as Eurostar, it's of them years. There was one whole route in through South London before they then built a big loop round to North London, which is how it is now. And the route through South London was quite controversial. As to where they decided, I guess. I mean, so because as we know here, you know, it's kind of riddled with train lines.
Yes, yes.
Well, it was going to go along behind Jeffrey Road. And, well, we followed the route once, didn't we?
Yes. And
through Peckham.
Through Peckham, yes. I think they had even worse problems than we had in Peckham. Mm. Some very nice houses at the back of Peckham. And they were going to do all sorts of things down there.
As in compulsory purchase them. So it wasn't going to be a tunnel underneath of this?
Not a tunnel.
Right, well, so they obviously didn't pick this route, this option. I can't remember exactly the way it went, but...
And again, I can't remember when that was.
1990s, I think, probably near a start.
Right about then.
Sorry?
We went and shook our fist at 10 Downing Street or whatever.
I thought that was before the 1990s, but I could well be wrong. And then they built two new schools in this area since we moved in. When our daughter started school, she had to go to Lucas Vale on the other side of the road because there weren't any others. And then in 1971, they finished Myatt Garden, and she went there, and then they subsequently built the first Ashmead School later in the 1970s, which has now been demolished for the second Ashmead School. So there's been quite a lot of... There are houses right along Lewisham Way, then opposite the college. You've probably noticed that there's a wall with archways in it opposite the college, which was where there were houses, which they had to demolish to build Ashmead School and the playground, besides Stonehouse.
Oh, I know the one, yeah, the big one set back. And there's one that says something about the Oddfellows.
There's a sort of a little thin park behind the bus stop with a wall, and the archways are supposed to represent the doorways of the houses which were demolished to build Ashmead School.
And what if the school on Hilly Fields at that time, was it still the boys only?
It was Brockley County, I think, at that time. And it was a boys' school, yes.
Yes.
So that was a grammar school, was it?
It was a grammar school,
Because there's some interesting photographs of that floating around. I don't know, that's the Lewisham Archive have got them. But then, at some point that obviously came to an end, and it's now... Well, I think it's girls only, isn't it, Prendergast?
Yes, I think so. At the moment.
So after you arrived here, then we get kind of a nice sort of picture emerging of what's going on over here, and then so you're saying that it was in those into following years that sort of back in here was when the sort of places were being converted into flats, and the old sort of previous generation were moving out, the old ladies on their own and so on. And so
there were quite a lot of people who'd come across at the Windrush time. Living in Manor Avenue.
I ended up
on Brockley Road. Because there have been funerals in the last few years of people living in Manor Avenue. Enormous funerals, huge, vast funerals. It was quite ethnically mixed at that particular time.
So do you think, unusually so to speak, like, so more than in the surrounding areas?
Probably not. But there were quite a lot of sort of four families living in one house at Manor Avenue. And when our daughter went to Myatt Garden School, it was pretty ethnically mixed, wasn't it, really? Because there were two lads who used to come home with her who were both Nigerian.
Early
1970s.
I just wondered about in that era, say in the 50s, the later end of the 50s, which was the Windrush era, wasn't it? And because we hear about the Afro-Caribbean community kind of coming and settling in like Brixton.
Yeah.
I was just intrigued to know if that obviously people settle wherever they like and that's all good, is if there had been a particular sort of community here, but you're saying not. You don't think so?
Well, I'm saying that she went there in 1970, and was there until 1970, well, however many years you stay at primary school. Another 5 years, 1975, and between that time, as I say, two of her friends were Nigerian lads. And the cat came from a West Indian family. The cat she brought home from school, from a little West Indian girl.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, fairly ethnically mixed at that time. Slightly more so now, I think. I'm not sure, actually. It's probably about the same balance.
Okay, yeah. But it was in that time then that perhaps you're saying this. This was after you'd done the improvements, the GIA had happened.
This was during the time of the GIA, really.
Yeah.
Because the GIA started about 1970, thereabouts.
Yes.
So it must have been about the same period of time that I'm talking about.
I must say that when we bought this house, we used to walk around and looking at the housing stock. I didn't think they would be up in 20 years' time. I thought they would be knocked down because they were pretty derelict, some of them. Quite drab, uncared for. And gradually the quality has gone up and up and up, so that, you know, there's some rather nice houses now.
But they say they were the original ones that were there, they've just been brought out, so to speak.
Yes, right, yes. They've looked after them and actually not abused too many.
Mm.
The design features of the building, which are very nice.
So you must have said then, presumably you were quite pleased and I'm sure involved in it becoming designated finally as a conservation area, which...
I must say I was quite amazed that people wanted to make it a designated area like that. And afterwards I was even more amazed when they decided that they were going to list these buildings, this terrace here, as a listed building. So it was a very pleasant surprise. I didn't really expect it, but there we go.
And that's not been too onerous for you as the owner, because I have heard some people say that it's a sort of mixed blessing.
It is a bit of a pain. You've got to use the proper kind of slate for the roof, and but Lewis wasn't particularly good at checking up on what people have done. Anyway, we did have to get permission to knock this bit through here, didn't we? We had to get listed. Although it's not properly listed, it's listed as a terrace. It's just the facade that's listed, if you understand what I mean. It's just listed as part of the rest of the houses in the street. But if you look at them, some of them have the most peculiar roofs. They haven't got slate roofs at all, and Lewisham doesn't seem to have done anything about it. People have just got away with murder when they wanted to, and that's it. But in theory, it's
listed. Supposed to be, yeah, if it's increasingly I think people are doing that, but there you go. So that means, I presume, if it's listed, there must be some documentation somewhere then about who, you know, about the building of it, or is it just retrospectively, not very much,
was there?
No.
Just a letter to say that this was being listed as part of a terrace, and that meant that we couldn't cut the trees down. They put tree preservation orders on at the same time that they listed the building, and couldn't do this and couldn't do that. And then we heard nothing more. And that was, I don't know how many years, we could check, I don't know how many years ago, a long time ago.
I think the thing is that at the time we bought this house, Victorian or Victoriana was was a dirty word. Nobody thought that anything Victorian was any good. They always thought it was something rather bad that happened a few years back in Dickens' time, and we're going to get over it somehow in the 1940s and so on. Gone. Build semi-detached houses all over the place, and you would gradually knock all these Victorian terraces down. But I was quite surprised and pleased that they actually didn't.
Well, I mean, I suppose then that's, you know, going, because it's going back nearly 80 years, you know, they weren't to know that the Victorian houses were going to last as well as many of them have, albeit with a few glitches, you know, and then you had all the kind of, that was sort of modernism and, you know, the reaction against all that old stuff, and like I say, then it's kind of come full circle.
Yes.
Although there are some, there are some very interesting modern builds in and around Broccoli, which I'm sure you know of, people like, was there the other day at 25 and a half Wickham Road, Charlotte's.
Well, they've just built, yes. With a for sale notice up for some reason. I don't know which bit they're selling, but...
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It was up and then it was down rather quickly. I don't know whether it was somebody...
A mistake.
It was a joke or something.
I can't see that. I think they're very... I mean, should they seem very... They're settling in. I don't think I could...
It's the family.
But, I mean, that's just because it's quite unusual, because that... It's quite incongruous, but it kind of works, and they've obviously got...
Yes, I like it.
Works very nice. It doesn't sort of fight anything at all. It works very nice.
They had to cut a mulberry tree down in the back garden, which is a bit sad to build it, but anyway.
Yeah.
It's a nice building.
So what about other things in the area? I mean, the thing is, as I will know, this kind of area back here, there aren't a huge amount of, you know... shops, businesses, areas that would have changed particularly, other than just this kind of gradual change.
Well,
the
parade, the parade calls itself this end of Upper Broccoli Road, but the part I think of as the parade, south of the Wickham Arms, there were shops there, there was a hairdresser's there, which I used to take the kids to have their hair cut. There was a marble shop there, there was a wine merchant's there. There were all sorts of shops along
stores,
there.
And so thriving then at the time?
Well, obviously not thriving enough to keep going forever, but yes, doing okay then. There was a grocer's which was quite busy. And then down at this end of the service road, at this end of Upper Broccoli Road, there was a very nice green grocer's. And the paper shop was rather nicer than it is now. There was a... Not a hardware shop, but a shop you used to...
An electrical shop.
Useful shops. And then in Tanners Hill on the opposite side of the road, there were newsagents, still functioning as newsagents, and a few shops there. Oh, and a big auction rooms on the corner of Tanners Hill and Lewisham Way, which had an auction every week, I think.
Okay.
That was a nice building. It's changed.
And we had the library then.
We had the library. Yes, we had the library.
Which is now the art house.
Lewisham Art House, yes.
So it's still running as a...
It was a lovely library. It was really very nice indeed. They had a reference library upstairs and a lending library on the ground floor and a children's library on the ground floor. And the kids could go there after school to library club, which they enjoyed. And the reference library was very well used. People doing their homework up there and things.
Was it still the Carnegie Library then, or was it
Lewisham? Oh, no, it was a Carnegie gift.
It was Lewisham Library.
He built it and it was taken on by the local government. But
it was a tragedy when they closed that. It really was. And they didn't put anyone in to look after it when they closed it. They just left it empty. And so people got in and they had raves there and they burned all the bookshelves and they...
Well, I saw that.
Completely wrecked the joint, yes.
Can you remember what year roughly? It must have been early 90s.
No, I can't remember what year roughly.
I can't.
Because, I mean, I talked about it a little bit with Claire and we were waiting for the appropriate moment. But in about 1994, I worked on a feature film and we used the art house as the main... base and location, and so we kind of went in, and it had been used for raves at that point.
Yeah,
because it was pretty derelict, and there was spray art everywhere. And
I could find out what year it was because I've got a book, which I got out of the library, and which I never ever took back because the library closed. And I could have taken it back to a different library, but I found that they had all the books in a skip that had been left in there anyway, which, so I thought, well, I might as well hang on to it. Mm. That was the Greek Islands book.
Yeah.
So whatever date is stamped in there is the date that the library closed.
Right.
Anyway, it's gratifying to see that it's, you know, because we then used it for about 3 or 4 weeks, and they didn't damage it, but they cleared a lot of rubble out and then reworked the spaces, so the downstairs became a library, and then upstairs was converted into various other sort of locations that were meant to be elsewhere. Anyway, I then went on to all sorts of other things, and it was only many, many years later that I came across the DVD of this film. So I've got it, and we're thinking that we should try and organise a screening in the art house.
All right.
Because it's a sort of, it's basically a British vampire film.
That would be absolutely fascinating. That would be lovely.
Mm. But that was my introduction to Broccoli. So the thing was, during doing that, I saw Wickham Road and thought, this is kind of a strange place. And then 5 or 6 years later, I was living in Brixton, and that was when my then partner and I thought, right, you have a hope of buying it, we have to do it now. And we saw, luck would have it, saw somewhere in Breakspears Road, and I said, right, I know that's a really nice little part of the world, let's go for it. And so and we then, did, but it was that, so that was the kind of, the art house was the connection.
Well, the bank was still the bank at the top of Friendly Street was still the bank, nice bank again, and the residential place that called itself the laundry was still a laundrette. So it was quite good for shops then, most of which have gone. I can't remember what was between the post office and the paper shop on the corner.
No, nothing.
I think it was an insurance agency or something.
That's right, it was. They've moved further along. Used to insure my car there at one time.
Right. And then there's a nice baker's down at the corner of Malpass Road, or near the corner of Malpass Road.
And what about the pub? What about pubs and so on? How's that changed over the years?
The Wickham Arms was a nicer pub than it is now, I think. Much nicer.
Busier, presumably.
Busier, yes. I don't think I ever went to the one at the top of Friendly Street, which has changed name twice since then. The one that calls itself Lewisham Coffee House now, and
I can't remember what it was called. Yeah,
because there was one down on Friendly Street that's presumably was a pub and has now been converted to residential. I remember.
Yes, they've taken all the glazed tiles off that, to my distress, and managed to lose them or break them and never put them. The enforcement officer is for the last 5 years, I think, has been trying to get them to put glazed tiles back on the front of that building. They haven't.
There is a film with Ralph Fiennes or Ralph Fiennes
he's
going into that pub down
Friendly
Street.
That's right, I think I remember hearing about that.
I've seen a clip of it. It's rather a nice little dingy little pub at one time.
I just wondered that was very common, but I just wondered if there were a lot of, some places you get a lot of little pubs in the
there
back
were two streets. Two pubs at the top of Tanner's Hill. There's the Crystal Palace, and the one that's still there. The Crystal Palace has been demolished and is residential now. There were two pubs in Upper Broccoli Road. There was the Wickham Arms, and there was a pub opposite that, which has become residential. There are 1, 2, 3, at least 4 pubs that have disappeared. There were a lot of pubs, actually, on that side of the road, going down between the A20 and the A2, which aren't there anymore.
Dropping down from Lewisham Way down
to
the river
at the
bottom, which is where the one we were just talking about, the green tiles. Yeah.
Yes, a lot of those pubs have disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, they've been those streets, sort of much, the housing is very different, isn't it? Unlike here, we've got these great big grand mansions almost down there. It's a kind of cottages, terraced cottages.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Victorian times are much more down to earth folk, so hence the pubs.
And we fought very hard to keep the houses at Oscar Street because they wanted to make the dog walking park, and the people who were living in the houses in Oscar Street wanted to keep their houses. But we lost that one. They compulsorily purchased the houses and built the dog walking park. And then about 5 years later, or a bit more, 10 years later, they decided that they wanted to build housing in the dog walking park.
And this is the park down by the Ravens. Is it the Ravens? One of the Quaggy there?
No, this is the park just below Friendly Gardens. You've got Friendly Gardens, and then you've got the street going along to Lucasvale School. And then you've got which is a dog walking park specifically. And it's before you get to the bottom of Friendly Street. The park at the bottom are the Ravensbourne's changed completely because of putting the Docklands Light Railway through. That's a completely different park from what it was. They had a paddling pool in there as well. They had a little aviary with budgies and things in it.
Yes.
It was a bigger park, a different park in those days. That's been totally changed.
So was this? So did you? Because where we are, I imagine that your sort of normal daily life, you were sort of facing more that way. Did you used to have to travel far to work, and presumably that was going that way, was it? Or
I used to work. Well, I worked in the city at one time, then the West End at another time.
When you first moved here, you worked in New Cross, didn't you?
Yes. Well, yes.
In Bryan Street.
That's right. For a very short time.
Which is just a walk up the road.
I suppose it was just a walk. But
a long walk?
Long walk, yes. It's beyond...
A mile and a half or so.
Just beyond New Cross Gate. But, yeah. But then I worked in the city for a while.
Makes you sound like a financier.
14, 15 years. And then I worked in the West End.
So when you were commuting, did you get the bus or did you go and get the train?
I used to get the train from New Cross Gate. New Cross, sorry. I used to get the train from New Cross. Going to Cannon Street when I was working in the city. And carry on straight through to Charing Cross when I worked in the West End. And you used to work at the Seamen's Hospital in Greenwich, so this is one of the reasons why we're still here, because it was reasonable distance for you, wasn't it?
Mm. Nice walk.
Nice walk, yeah. Mm.
Fascinating. So what about things like cultural and social stuff in this part of the world then, when you were bringing up a young family, you probably have an enormous amount of time for such things, but was there much? I mean, I can't imagine there wasn't much literally, here, but in the country.
There were two cinemas at the bottom of Lone Pit Hill.
That's down towards
going down to Lewisham, where the giant building site is now, where they've got roads up and the DLR station and everything. There was a little cinema, and then there was a big cinema. They've both long gone.
You don't happen to remember the Broccoli Cinema, do you?
The Broccoli Cinema.
Where that new block has now gone up. Was a car.
Mm. No, that was before we moved here. We were unaware of it, if it was here then, but I think it went before we moved here.
There used to be a cinema at Deptford Broadway.